see it in the divine way of understanding that we are connected to God. In Matthew, in the 10th chapter, we have these words that are written, these very words of Christ, starting at the 40th verse. And it says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive the righteous man reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, open up our hearts that we may grow in grace and understand the connection that you have with us through Christ Jesus and how this means everything. Lord, let us be your people that we may grow in this grace, we may be even more connected to you, and may understand that all that we think we know is but the beginning of what we shall know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, in the way that I share the message, I always look for a pattern, a certain connection. I see the scripture in the way that someone who has studied scripture their whole life sees it. I see it as a connected whole. And every part of scripture connects to another part of scripture, which then connects us to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. In this scripture from Jesus here in Matthew, the 10th chapter, he is close to finishing the Sermon on the Mount. And by preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he is ushering in the kingdom's understanding into this world. He started out the Sermon on the Mount, of course, with the blessed, with the blessings upon us if we live in the way of God. And now as he draws to the close of his sermon, he's describing how this blessing happens. It happens through connection. It happens because God is connected to us. We are connected to God. In fact, one of my laws, one of my principles in the little black book I keep is everything is connected. The first law, you know, is everything is in motion. Well, I think it's law 8 says everything is connected. In other words, we are connected this morning. Now, they've done theories and studies on this, and in the older days, they determined that there was a 7-step connection between all people on earth. In other words, you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, no matter who it is, around the earth at any one given time, between you and that other person, there's 7 steps. Well, the internet's changed that now. Now it's 4 steps. It's gotten shorter. That there's not so many steps that are between you and the other person. We know that connection's important because we spend a lot of money on it through our technology, through our telephones, through our just computer systems. We have mail, you know, was started in the United States as a way to connect the colonies together. In fact, so it was Benjamin Franklin who was the one that helped start the idea of that. So the idea of us being connected together is fundamental to us being the people that we are. In fact, it's a hard thing when you do not have connection with others, when you find yourself in a place where you don't have cell phone reception, or you find yourself in a place that you're not able to make a phone call, because connection allows us to not only know where we are, but to know where the ones we love, they are. So we love to be connected. As a parent, I can tell you in the younger days, since I was so astute in technology, I had trackers on my children's phones and their other electronic devices. Even now, I can tell you where Hannah is on my phone because I have her connected. Now, she can turn me off whenever she wants to, but I use a family. It's called Life. So I think it's called Life 360. It shows me exactly where she is on the map. So I can track her anytime I need to, and she, of course, thinks that's just infringing on her personal rights. But as a parent, I don't see that, and I don't agree with that. And so I track her whenever I can. Now, Leanna, I can't track her in Korea. I have tried, and there's just no app for that. So the idea of connection is that we are connected with one another to help one another and to be just a part of each other's story. Now, Jesus in the scripture shows us this idea of connection. He says, "Whoever receives you receives me." So we're going to start with the whoever receives you. So the first step of connection is you. You're the first step. There's always the first step. The first step is the individual who is the one who is part of the connection. So you are vital to God's connecting to the world. If you're not involved, God will not connect through you to the world. So you are the first step of sharing the gospel. You are the first step of witnessing the peace of Jesus Christ. You are vital to this connection. If you are not part of this connection, it won't take place. In other words, if you don't come to church, then church has one less connection point. If you do not give, the church has one less ability to reach out and to help. You are vital to the connection. That's very important that God starts out this connection process based on the idea of you. Now, he describes us in these words. He says, a prophet. Now, we just heard from Miss Susie, that a prophet isn't just one who shares about a given future, they share about the future of peace in God. So our role is to connect people in peace. And he also shares that we're called to be righteous. In other words, our part of the connection is when we do the right thing, we connect people to God. When you do the Christian thing, it helps other people come closer to God. And so the first step of connection is you. And if you take that formula, you can go make $1 million with an app, because every app, it's about you. It's you connecting to someone else, something else. And that's the basis of how the connection happens. But the mystery of the gospel is that the connection doesn't happen in four steps or in seven steps. It happens in three simple steps. Between you and heaven is only three steps. It starts with you, and then the next part of the connection, it says, whoever receives you receives me. Now, who's the me here? Now, Jesus is the one speaking. It's in red letters in the Bible. So the me is Christ. So in other words, you're the part of the connection connecting to Jesus. This is solos Christos, the idea that we can only come to God through Christ Jesus. It's a basic Christian teaching. There's no other way to God except through Christ Jesus. And so what's happening in the scripture is Jesus says, whoever receives you, because you are part of me, they will be receiving me. So in other words, you become the Christ figure. You become the Christ action. You become the Christ. It's a moment for them that when they see you, they see Christ. And that is part of the connection. So in other words, here's how it happens. When we want to connect to God, we connect to Jesus. And after we connect to Jesus, then Jesus connects us to his Father in heaven. So in this scripture, what Jesus is describing is he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one is the next part of the connection, the one, and the one is God who sent me. So you have this logical progression of how we are to connect. Now that we know that, how do we use this simple step of you and Christ and God in our daily life? How do we live out our lives in a sense of faith and just a sense of holiness where we want to be a part of the kingdom's indwelling in this life? How do we go from you to Christ to God? And that is the question of faith. The church is in a challenging time right now because we have to deal with the other part of this equation. The other part of this equation is there's an intentional action to disconnect right now. There is an intentional action in this society, in this world, to disconnect you. It's going on every single day. Not only is it a disconnect between you and Christ or a disconnect between Christ and God, there's a disconnect between you and who you are. See, every day, our society is in a battle more than I've ever known it in my life right now of it being disconnected. I have never seen people argue and fight as much as they're arguing and fighting right now. Up in Pennsylvania, In 1863, there was a major battle fought called Gettysburg, at the town of Gettysburg, between the Southern troops of Robert E. Lee and the Northern troops of General Meade. And this was the turning of the war towards the northern side. And every year since then, there's been a celebration. After the war ended in 1865, there's been a celebration on the fields of Gettysburg where Southerners and Northerners will get together and they'll remember this tidewater, this major three-day battle that changed the course of the war. Now, you know from the news of the past few days, there's been all kinds of threats of disconnect and people doing mean things and tearing down monuments and fighting each other. And these people that go to Gettysburg every year, they don't go to fight each other. They go to basically come together. A nation that was divided comes together as one. And the Southern reenactors and the Northern reenactors will reenact the battle, but they don't use live ammunition. Now, they had one guy that brought his own pistol to the thing yesterday and shot himself in the leg accidentally. He was there to defend the Southern cause, and apparently he didn't use his brain too much, and he ended up shooting himself. But the reenactors don't use real bullets. What they do is they come up there to show how even people who have fought a war against each other can be connected as one people. Yet, this day and age, for some reason, we're so divided. You can't go to a city right now that there's not division. You cannot go even into a home without there being division. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody thinks that somehow their opinion, it matters in the big scheme of things, and these opinions are causing all kinds of division. Sisters and brothers, it's reaching a point as a nation that we are losing a connection even to who we are. See, this battle is to separate you from who you really are. This attempt to take away you, because if it can break down with you, you'll never get to Jesus. See, if it breaks down with the individual, they'll never be able to step towards Christ. So that's why the children are embattled and are not sure what's right or what's wrong anymore. That's why they're confused about what's righteous and what's unrighteous. That's why children are being forced to make decisions that they don't have basis to understand, because they are being forced to make decisions about self when they don't even know who self is. And I can tell you who self is. Self is this connection of being connected to Christ, because we can never know who we are till we know who Jesus is. And once we know Jesus, we can know who we are. Because by knowing Jesus, we suddenly know we are part of the family of God. We're not just simply people, individuals. We're not a society of just me. We're now a people of us. We're a people of being unified through Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is saying to his early disciples, you're going to go out after I leave, after I go back to heaven. And you're going to go out and you're going to try to go out your own way. And the ones with Peter are going to follow Peter. And Paul wasn't on the scene then, but he would say the ones with other people would follow the other people. But he said, remember, you're following me. I am the master. I am the captain. See, this started in a little easy way back in the 60s. I remember it as a young boy. There was a movement in the church that said, God is your co-pilot. People put on bumper stickers, God is your co-pilot. That's the worst theology in the world. God is code to nothing. God is not equal to us. God does not ride shotgun as we drive our lives. If we think somehow we can put God in that shotgun seat, then we're really losing sight of where we're going, because we're going to find out God isn't sitting over there. God's up there shaking his head going, I don't understand. I don't understand these children. Why are they so wayward? Why are they so caught up into the me? Why are they so lost? Don't they understand the only way they can be part of what I'm building is for them to connect? In other words, if you never call home, how are you going to know what's going on at home? If you never visit home, how are you going to know what's going on at home? If you don't want any part to do at home, then how are you going to know what's going on at home? See, the fact is, if a society chooses not to be of God, God will not be a part of that society. It's as simple as that, because we make the bed that we lie in, and this culture is making the bed right now that is trying to live a world that has no God. It's trying to take God out of everything. In fact, there's this Western college that was going to take all the Bibles out of their chapel, I heard on the news. I don't want to get political because you know I don't do that. But sisters and brothers, it's a chapel. Why would they want to take Bibles out of the chapel? That'd be like us coming to church and not having Jesus, or having hymnals, or having the choir, or having you, or having me, having a preacher. They say in like 50 years, almost every job will be automated. They're talking about they need to standardize and give everybody a paycheck now. That's what they're talking about, a guaranteed income to all people. And I'm sitting there thinking, are they going to automate me too? There's going to be like a robot up here preaching a sermon. There could be. There could be, and probably that robot would probably do a better job than me, I have a feeling. But I tell you one thing, that robot wouldn't know you. That robot wouldn't care about you. That robot wouldn't go out of his way because God called him in God's way. So that robot won't replace me, and it's not going to replace you. See, Christ is saying that we cannot replace this chain of connection to God. We cannot construct a Jacob's ladder to climb up there. We cannot create a Tower of Babel to reach heaven. The only way we can get there is through Christ. And he says, whoever accepts you, they accept me. And so let's look at the me. Let's look at how Jesus is part of this connection. What does it mean that Christ is part of the connection? It means for a believer, it means whatever we do, however we do it, Christ is part of how we understand it. It's no longer our logic or our memory or our tradition that connects us. It's our understanding of Christ in our life that connects us. When we see something, we see it through the lens and the eyes that Christ would have us see it. And Jesus is saying here, whoever receives you receives me, and that is the basis of the connection. In this society we live in right now, there's an attempt to take Jesus out of the picture. It's happening day in and day out, even within the church. Some are feeling like the church is no more than a morality play, and the purpose of the church is somehow to create better citizens. And I can tell you the purpose of the church is not to create better citizens, though it does. The purpose of the church is to create babes in Christ, to create ones who grow in the nature, in the love of Jesus. So in this scripture, this connection is vital that we are connected to Christ. As we gather here today, we have connections. We have connections that they define who we are. With the connection I had with my father and my mother, it defines me even today. For you today, you come some with happy hearts and some with sad hearts, knowing that you are connected, even though the one you love is not here or they're somewhere else. See, that connection allows you to be who you are. You're your mother's daughter. You always will be your mother's daughter. I am my father's son. I will always be my father's son. That connection, though it's not what it was always meant to be, though at times it was a challenge for me to fulfill my obligation, and even for my father to fulfill his obligation. And though at times I wish it could have changed in some way, perhaps another moment to say something, perhaps another call, but I can tell you that our connection with Jesus is enough. Our connection with Christ is enough. Sisters and brothers, I can tell you that in life you only get a certain number of chances to do certain things. Do not think it to be always there, but take an opportunity this week to tell that person you love them, because you're not guaranteed the next day. Realize that connection that is afforded is a connection that is vital for us being the children of God. This world is trying to make people isolated and lonely so they will die all alone. This world is ruled by an enemy who wants to destroy. He wants to tear down. He wants to corrupt. He wants to beat down the very good that makes us whole. All these people that are screaming and they're raising Cain, and they're shouting, and they're marching, and they're tearing down. I haven't heard of one of them say anything to build anyone up. Sisters and brothers, if I was in a school that did that, I'd leave it. If I had a teacher who beat me down, I wouldn't let them be my teacher. I want to know this gospel, and this gospel is that we are connected to Christ. And how do we know we're connected to Christ? Because Christ is connected to God, and God is one. God is one. God is not many pieces and parts. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one. The three are one. The Trinity is one. It's not divided. If you want to know what gives you the understanding of what is truly a God connection, does it divide you or does it unite you? And if it divides you, it is not of God. That's why it's so sad that on these fields of Gettysburg, while they're up there trying to unite and talk about a nation that was divided, how it became one nation under God, instead now people are claiming it's somehow a division. And there's people that are claiming they're with the old South or the old North. And I'm saying, what about the new South and the new North and the new nation under God, the flag that flies over this country? If we live in this division, we shall fall in this division. Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand, and he was exactly right as he quoted scripture, knowing that this nation needed to be united, knowing that we need to be united. So how do we know this? How do we know if we are part of this simple three-step connection to God? And Jesus gave us the easiest answer. He gave us the most simple answer. He said, this is what you do, and when you do this, you'll be doing what I would have you do. He said, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. If anyone gives a cup of cold water, how many know how good a cup of cold water is? That's a legitimate question. That's a legitimate question. Do not take that question lightly. How many know what a cup of cold water really is? I'm working for Davis Bradley. I'm suckering tobacco over there near Kipling. That's an awful thing to be doing. Makes good money, though. Davis paid good money. When you reach the end of that row and you've got the monkey on your back, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're not wanting to take another step because you are dog tired. And it's hot and it's sticky. And then that just that Gatorade thing comes by on the tractor. You know what I'm talking about. And you get that cup, you know, that old nasty cup that everybody else has been using, the cup. And you pour that water in there and you gulp it down and it is good. See, that's a cup of cold water. One of the problems we got right now is people aren't thirsty. They don't know what it is to work anymore. They said that this summer, they had the least workers they've ever had of young people in America. Young people no longer work in summer jobs like they used to. For one reason or another, they choose not to work or are not able to work, or the jobs have been taken by older people who need jobs. And I'm wondering, how is a society who is not thirsty going to thirst for the gospel? Or they're being filled by other things. They're being filled by ideas that are crazy and beliefs that are not true. Are they being led to think in ways that are not of the kingdom? They're being filled with temporary things instead of eternal things. See, Jesus said, if you give even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. And therein lies the greatest of all the promises. And that's what Miss Susie talked about today in the children's sermon, the promise of eternal life. And it goes back to the same old story, and it's been told time after time, People would rather trade a few years of so-called pleasure here than for an eternity in heaven. And sisters and brothers, I tell you, nothing compares to what the reward is God is giving us and going to give us in the kingdom. He is offering us not just eternal life, though that is a wonderful idea, that is a wonderful concept, that is a wonderful reality, that is a wonderful thing, because when you see death and you know what it does, you know the pain of it, you realize life and how precious it is. That is not all that he is offering us. He is offering us eternal love, which means that love that you had for that person is no longer gone or temporary, suspended, or in some way entrapped, but that love is able to live out its fullness of grace. Sisters and brothers, we are on a journey going out and coming in, all to no avail. We're on a journey going out and coming in, trapped between heaven and hell. But I want it to be that the journey you take is a simple one, not made of many steps and elaborate beliefs. I want it to be a simple faith, a faith in Jesus. And I know by believing in Jesus, I believe in God. I believe my God is greater than all the things that try to hinder me and the ones I love. I believe God is able to overcome all the wickedness, all the evil that is in this world. I believe in my God. My God created the heavens and the earth. My God, he made the sun to shine. My God, he gave his son, Jesus, so I can have one to hold on to through the darkest night. So Jesus said, whoever receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Amen. Our final hymn is a great hymn. It's Hebrew hymn, El Shaddai, on page 123. Let us share together.